I'll tell you what. Go back to 2, first of all. I always like to start there. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Talking about God's government, supernatural government. And find out where we fit into this government. How we... here in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I like to lay those foundational scriptures. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as your call and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. These gifts, what we call, are the fivefold ministry gifts, are the fivefold ministry graces. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that also he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11 say, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 gives us a reason why he gave these fivefold ministry gifts. He did not give these gifts for our personal use. He gave them for a specific purpose. And if we're using them wrong, then these gifts will actually, it's not working the way God set it up. It's a for the perfecting of the saints, number one, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, verse 13, say, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 say, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I always go back and read verse 1 so we can see what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so in basically what the Apostle Paul is saying here, the Apostle is saying that he would not have us ignorant of spiritual things. He said gifts in this aspect, but he's also can say spiritual things. So he wants the body of Christ to understand what God is doing when he reestablished his government. It says, verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. And then he asks the question, these are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Then verse 31 say, but covet earnestly the best gifts. and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he got into chapter 13. We begin to talk about love, where love never fail it. But we've covered the apostle. We covered the prophet. One of the things that we said on the first two, on the apostles, I want you to have a good foundation on that the apostles and the prophets are always looking to heaven. And they're trying to find out what heaven wants. They want to bring that to earth. That's the main thing. And based on the scripture that Jesus told them to pray when they prayed over in Matthew, when he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So God wants his will to be done in earth the same as it is in heaven. So that's why when Jesus came, he modeled this this Christian life for us. Whenever Jesus walked up on a situation that was not operating according to the kingdom, then he would destroy those works. It was Satan, 1 John 3:8 says Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so we are here. We're being trained as Jesus was taught, trained to operate in the kingdom of God just the way Jesus operated when here. We want to see these signs. We want to see these miracles. We want them to become as natural as breathing. But the only way we're going to do that, we have to be trained and have to be taught. And not only have to be taught, we have to know it. We have to be able to see it in Scripture and know it is possible for us to operate that way. And so we set these foundational Scripture so that you can see it. And I can say again, the apostles and prophets are looking to heaven and finding out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth. And bringing that to find out what heaven wants and bringing that to earth. A couple of things I missed out on the last class when I was talking about the prophet. I needed you to see those things. We know the scripture in Matthew 10:41 says that he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Over in 2 Chronicles 20:20, God say, he said, "Believe in the Lord thy God, so shall you be established." He said, "Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper." And so he wanted us, we have to believe what the prophet is saying. In order for us to receive what's coming out of the prophet's mouth, then we have to receive those things. And so they can manifest in our life. Turn to Amos. One other scripture on the prophets before we go into the teacher. Turn to Amos. Chapter 3. This gives us a sure word of the Lord, what he says here in Amos chapter 3, looking at verse 7. Amos chapter 3. Verse 7, he says, "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So God said, I won't do anything on the earth unless I first reveal those things to my servants, the prophets. Then the prophets come and give us that word. That's from heaven. And how he gave it to us, he reveals it to the prophet. We can't receive anything from the kingdom of God unless it be revealed to us. We can't receive it by our head. We can't receive it by reading it. But God himself revealed these things to us by his spirit. Amen. Let's go to, let's look at some of the aspects of the teacher. We're going to say thirdly, teachers. So we're going to go into the teacher aspect of this fivefold ministry gifts. And like I say, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor are more concerned about the people then even though they're teaching and preaching the word of God, they're not looking for the supernatural as the prophets and the apostles are doing. That's why God said, I have to set my government back up so I can have the people. The word of God said in Romans 10:17, says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we never hear that these things are available to us, then we can have faith for these things. So here, the teacher is not the highest anointing, but only the third level of anointing, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. He says it's only the third level of anointing. The teacher is fixated on the written word of God. The teacher is fixated on the written word of God. They believe that the word of God is the source of life and truth on the earth. And so what are they? Are they looking at the word of God? They scriptures such as John 10:10, where it says, Satan come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And so, but this teacher is basically, again, concerned with teaching the people the word of God. And in order for the word of God to have effect, it has to be ministered under that at power. As they in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 and 5 say, our gospel came to us not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And so we have to know that we just can't receive the word. That's why we're not seeing as much supernatural, because we're being taught the word of God and not being taught in power. It's just words on the pages of the book. And you are taking notes and we're going back and we're not doing anything with it. But God wants us to take this word and bring it to the people. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at that. First Thessalonians 1 and 5 says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, for your sake. So that's to mature you in the things of God, for your sake. And so the Apostle Paul, let's turn to Timothy right quick, and 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verse, we read two verses here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, and then we read verse 11. Verse 9 says, Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he began to tell us, what happened to him. He also, in verse 11, he said, Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So he, Apostle Paul, said, I'm not only an apostle, but I begin to teach the people. So when he began to write each one of these epistles in Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Thessalonians, all these people, he began to teach them how to operate in the kingdom of God. After Jesus had ascended on the throne, he began to teach the people. And so one of the things he said, and he did it so good in 1 Corinthians, and he went through that whole little process. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And this is what a teacher should look like in the body of Christ. He should look like the Apostle Paul. Again, Apostle Paul, Jesus was an example of how we operate in the kingdom. But the Apostle Paul says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So after Jesus went away, the apostles had to lay the foundation upon that foundation that Jesus has left for us. And so he began to say, this is how it should be done. It says, the Apostle Paul came to the Corinthians, and he began to show them some things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he laid a foundation. He said, our brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And so we who are in the body of Christ, we think because we have these, we have great orators, and we can come up and hold people's attention and speak to them, that that is preaching the gospel. The preaching of the gospel, it told us in 1 Thessalonians, it not come not only in word only, but in power. And see, we have to be able to bring that power, exert the power of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in power. Verse 2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So if the word is not, if you're not coming to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, then we're just teaching dry words. In verse 5, it says why. Why did he say that? He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, you know, it's not about what I'm doing. Jesus always said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father say. So he's letting you know it's not me that's doing the work. It is the God in me, the Holy Spirit in me, that's doing the work. We have to know that. So when someone get up and say, I'm holding a prophecy meeting, they are saying that I'm doing this. And so when they say they are prophesying and speaking over you, they're doing it from their own self and not by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls the meetings, and he's the one who's the work. You see, all these miracles and signs is done at his own will. So God said, if I tell you to do it, then you can do it. Verse 6 says, how be it? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That's perfect here. We know it means maturity. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, have grown in the things of God, who have matured for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These things you should know. He goes on to say, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, come to nothing. I don't speak those words. The words of this world system comes to naught if you're speaking it according to your own ability and not in power and not in the Holy Ghost. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God, he said, you can't receive it in your with your ears. You can't receive it with your eyes. He said, you have to has to be revealed to you the things of the kingdom. You can't read up on it. The Holy Spirit, once you see a scripture, he'll point you to a scripture. Then the Holy Spirit have to shed light on these scriptures so that these scriptures can affect you. That's the only way. It has to be revealed to your spirit. And so once it's revealed to you, our apostle has been teaching us and he's telling us, in order for us to continue to operate in the supernatural, we have to have progressive revelation. That revelation has to continue to flow. God is constantly moving. He's not in one place. Yesterday's revelation is not going to work for today. So it has to be progressive revelation. We have to be continually taught in the things of God so we can move and move and move and move and see God operate, see God's glory manifest in the earth realm. Verse 11 says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows. That's a big, you'll see the two S's there. Small S is your spirit, big S is God's, the Holy Spirit. And so we see, except the Spirit of God. It said, now we have received not the spirit of the world. And we can go back and look at Romans 12:2. It says, the word of God says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know. That you might know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's saying this is a total different kingdom. And if we try to operate in the kingdom, in the natural, then these things that the Word of God say we can have will not manifest in our life. Because why? We're trying to do it the way the world system do it. And so when he say, do not conform to this world, that means that the truth that I know is not what I see with my eyes, but it's the truth that I see from the Word of God. And the Word of God said the Spirit of God will bring us to all truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but through me. And so what he's saying, he said, you have to do it the way I set it up in order for you to get the manifestations of the things that God has promised us in this book. This book is, the Bible is full of truths and supernatural acts that God did for his people. But we're not going to see them unless the Holy Spirit show us and reveal them to us and show us how to do them. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom. We have to know it's a spiritual kingdom, and in order for us to operate in it, we have to operate spiritually. If we're trying to do it in the natural, it's not going to happen to us. And so he goes on to say in verse 13, it says, verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So we have the mind of Christ, then what Christ did while he was here on the earth. That's why he can make that statement. He says, and the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Because I go to my Father. So he didn't say that, you know, he wouldn't have said it if he know that we, if he thought we could not do it. He know that we could do it because he left us the means by which we could do it. And the way he did it is by being full of the Holy Ghost. He had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He had to be led of the Spirit. And then he had to hear from heaven. That's our apostle been teaching us that also. We have to be able to hear from heaven. We have to hear the voice of God. Romans 8:14 says, men as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we have to be able to hear from God and know that it's God that's speaking to us. And then as we hear what God says, then we can begin to see these supernatural. We're going to see the supernatural operate. We're going to see it operate just like it did in Bible time, because God is preparing a people who can operate the way he wanted to operate, and we can see the manifestation of those things operate in the earth realm. Amen? He said, these are their value for the word is much higher than their need for the supernatural. That's the present-day teachers. They want to teach the word, and they want to show you how good they are explaining the word and orating the word. But in terms of the supernatural, our present-day teachers are not that concerned about the supernatural. These are the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees of our day. They go in and they find evidence of what the scripture says. They say things like, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But it's only by word that we are saying. It goes on to say, I'm not trying to devalue the scripture, but I want you to understand how unimportant heaven has become because of their error and disorder. They're not seeking the way God said it, the supernatural, the way God set it up. They just want to be able to explain the scripture to us so we can see the scripture. The teachers as the primary influence in the church have turned our attention to the law. Turn to Ephesians. The law is, as we get into our culture of honor, we're going to see the law, we're going to see grace, and we're going to be able to have some understanding of grace. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal some things to us as we are teaching this culture of honor. Ephesians 8, Ephesians 2. Let me go back. Let me go up to Ephesians. I start reading at verse 3. Let me read verse 3. Begin at verse 3 and I'll see. In verse Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and was by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. John 3:16. And he tells us that. So when we was in ours, he loved us that much, but he wanted to bring us back into the God's original plan in our dominion, as we was created in Genesis. He gave us dominion. He gave us dominion over all the fowls of the air, all the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. Genesis 1:26 through 28. He gave us that dominion. That's how he created. He created us in his image. So if he created us in his image, then the things that he would do, we should be able to do also. But we know that Adam gave it up. But then through Jesus Christ, he came back and he put us back in our original position, our position of power, our position of dominion on the earth. He wanted us to have authority on the earth. Luke 10:19 said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means should harm you. So he gave us our authority back. We have that dominion back again. And so through Christ Jesus, he goes on to say, I'm getting down to Ephesians 2 and 8. That's what I'm going to. He said, but even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. He said, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And again, it's what Jesus did while he was here. And we again, we have to get that conviction that what Jesus did for us, we can walk in those things that he've done. Jesus finished the work when he was here. And so everything that we needed, everything that we need to operate in the kingdom, Jesus provided for all our provisions. Jesus provided for our right standing with the Father. Jesus provided for us. A scripture that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he says, for he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And righteousness means that everything that this Bible has to offer, I have a right to those things. I can claim them as my own because of what Jesus did, not of my own righteousness, and because of what he did for us. He made me righteous, and so because he made me righteous, I can say, you told us because of what Jesus did, he finished the work for me, all my healing he provided for me in the Bible. Isaiah 53:4-5, and it tells what happened in here. He was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was up on him, and with his stripes, when sickness come up on us, we have to be able to show the devil and claim our rights to what God has already provided for us in the scripture. We have to go to him and say, no, you cannot put this on. I don't hear your voice. I don't hear what you're saying to me. When he's trying to put a disease, a sickness up on me, I should be able to hear the voice of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and a voice of a stranger, they will not follow. They will not hear. And so that's when the word of God says, that's when you can take these scriptures and you put them together. And you say, don't come to conform to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed. Transform. Let your mind be renewed. And then you can know what the perfect will of God is, and he's given it to us in the scriptures. He told us what he wants us to have. And here in verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what he's saying, he said, if you did it, he was telling, the Apostle Paul was telling Ephesians that you didn't become righteous by doing the law. You couldn't follow the law. You could not follow all those commandments. It was given to you as a free gift of God. So you can't boast about it. You can't say, I saved myself. I was saved by what Jesus Christ. He was trying to let them see. He was teaching them that you know, God gives you this as a free favor. It was not. You didn't work for it. We didn't have to work for this. Only thing we had to do is confess, believe that Jesus died on the cross for us and that God raised him from the dead. And then once he did that, then we have a right to everything that this Bible has to offer. And we have to know this. We have to be able to confront. When the enemy come to us, we have to be able to confront. Even our relatives, and we have to know this on our relative, that God has already provided through Jesus Christ everything that we need. And so that's how we begin to operate in the supernatural. That's how we begin to manifest God's glory in the earth realm. Amen. So the statement I made is that the teachers, as the primary influence in the church, have turned our attention to the law. So what they're saying, when they turn to the law, they go back to the commandments. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, which is good. But we still need to be able to know we're not saved by the law. We are saved by grace through faith. When we focus solely on the word, eventually we begin to fight among ourselves over the word. And that's why we have so many different denominations. Everybody interpret the word the way they see fit. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to interpret the word. Let them show. Turn to 2 Corinthians right quick for me, chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 5, and then I go to my scripture that I want you to see. Verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency, God is our source. So all our sufficiency, just like Jesus was when he was here, he said, my Father doeth the work. My Father doeth the work. I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. I don't say anything but what I say, hear my Father say. So our Father has given us his words, and he promised us he will hasten his words to perform them. God said, I'm the one who do this. And so if we get that revealed to our spirits, then everything that's in this Bible belongs to us. And the next verse says, it says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, which most teachers are doing, teaching the letter, the word, just teaching the letter. It says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kill it, but the Spirit give it life. He said, unsaved people can read the Bible, but it's not for unsaved people because they won't hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be able to reveal what they're reading. And same thing with Christians. You say you're saved, but there are such things as carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are no different than an unsaved person because they act the same way. They don't believe they read the word of God, but they don't allow the word of God to affect their lives. And so we have to be able to read the scriptures and then allow the Spirit of God to reveal, to shed light on these particular scriptures. That's why in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul began to tell the Ephesians. He was able to minister to them. He was able to teach them. He said, when you go ahead and pray. But when you want to know something, you ask God, you ask the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what you're reading here, so he can reveal to you. You're not going to, again, we're not going to get the word of God in our head. 2:9 told us that. Is that I have not seen, nor ears heard, but he reveals it to our spirit. And the only person that can reveal these things that the word of God say is the Holy Spirit. We ask him. He was sent to help us. John, turn to John right quick, and we'll go back. We'll finish up reading this. John 16, looking at verse 12. John 16, verse 12. And this is what he was telling his disciples. He was telling them some things. He said that in verse 12, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He was saying, if I tell you, you can't understand them right now. He said, because why? You're still in the natural. You're trying to operate with your natural senses. And since you're operating with your natural senses, I can't reveal it to your head. I can tell it to you, but you won't be able to understand it. Then he goes on to verse 13. He say, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He was saying that the Holy Spirit had not come at this point. Jesus was still teaching his disciples. But he said, until the Holy Spirit come, which we all have in Acts 1 and 8, once we got filled with the Holy Ghost, once Jesus came, we got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of us. And then he can say now, he said, when he come. That's why he commanded his disciples. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm ascend unto you. He said, I got to go away. He said, I got to go. But if when I go, then I'm going to send you another helper. And so just like when Jesus was on the earth and he walked along with his disciples along the earth, so he sent the Holy Spirit so he can walk along with us, so he can show us, he can teach us, he can guide us into all truths. And so when we read the scripture, we have a helper, and he's going to reveal to us what the scriptures are saying to us. He's going to shed light on the scripture. One of the awesome scriptures I heard is over in Matthew chapter 6. And one of the things he said, if the light that is in you is darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? That means I can read the scripture and it still be darkened to me. And he said, but once the Holy Spirit reveals and shed light on it, then it becomes light in your spirit. He revealed it to you, and now it has become light in my spirit. I can see what the word of God is saying. I can hear what the word of God is saying. He used to, when Jesus walked along, he used to ask his disciples, he said, for those who have eyes to hear, the eyes to see, let them see. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. But what he was saying, he wasn't talking about their eyes. He knew they had eyes. He could look at them physically and see their eyes. But he was talking about another level of seeing now. He was talking about an inner seeing in their spirit, a revelation of what God was saying to them. So he always wanted us to have that revelation knowledge of what the word of God is saying. And the only way it's going to happen to us is through a revealed word. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to finish reading that. And then we're going to give you some more pointers here. He said, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament. So when we got to the New Testament, the New Covenant, that's the covenant that came through Jesus Christ. Then when he gave us the helper and he began to teach us, these are things that the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, have to reveal to us what he is saying. He says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. He said, for the letter kill it, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. And when the teachers disagree, there is division. So, again, if we go back and look at the history of the church itself from the time of the apostles, we have various denominations. The scripture tell us that until we all, we put up these apostles and these prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, until we all come into the unity of the faith. You think here in the body of Christ, we have come to that point, the unity of the faith? That's why we have so many different denominations. We have Catholics and Protestants and Baptists and Methodists and faith, all kinds of denominations. That's because they took the word, and everybody took the word and tried to interpret the word for themselves as they heard it, and then allow the Spirit of God to reveal what he was saying to them in the scripture. They say we all of household of God. Jesus Christ himself is the head of the church, head of the body, and we all part of that body. And so we took in, we got various denominations, because when we begin to teach, I got a different insight into what the Word of God says. So your way, what you said is wrong, so I'm going to split off and I'm going to become my own denomination. So that's throughout history. That's from the time that the body of Christ, you know, we go through church history and Christianity, classic Christianity, and we see where, you know, they call it back a certain time, it's called the Dark Ages. You know, when everybody was trying to form their own way. And so this is what the Word of God, he said, God said, I'm restoring. I want to restore my kingdom in the earth realm. And first of all, he went in Isaiah 9, where he told us, he said, you're going to reestablish my government. I'm going to put it back up on my son. But then I need some people who are going to believe what I say and who are going to follow me as I'm flowing, as I'm moving, as I'm revealing myself to them. I want individuals who are going to believe exactly what I say and do exactly what I say. This is the time God is moving, and he said, I'm restoring my government back in the church so we can see the Word of God operate the way it did in times past. My wife and I, we sit and we talk, and talk about Scripture and see Scripture and see what God always saying. And I say, you know, as you go through and you read the scripture, you know, when I was growing up, I always heard about Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew boys and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so I would hear about those things. But all those acts were supernatural acts that God was showing the people. That God said, this is how I operate. This is the way. When I find somebody who would believe exactly what I say, then no matter what comes against you, you can overcome it. Those was examples. Everything in Samson, all was examples of God's supernatural acts in the Old Testament. God said, this is who I am. And this is when I find a person, a people who would believe exactly what I say, I'll do the same thing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same God. I change not. Malachi. He said, I'm God. I change not. So if I could find somebody who would believe me, and I would do the same thing for them. Yeah, just like I did. And so as I read in these supernatural, I say, and one of the prophets, he said, where are all these miracles? Why we're not seeing these miracles that God said that we can have? And if he's the same God, then if he did it yesterday, and when I saw what he did, I can go to God and I say, look, Lord, you know, them boys are in the fire. You know, I got a fire situation in my life right now, and I need to overcome that fire. You've told me in your word this is what's going to happen. So we have to get God to, you know, he said, you can come now and we can reason together. He told us that in his word. We can come sit and we can talk together. And when we talk together, he can tell me what he's going to do for me. He can reveal to me what he's going to do for me through his word. Amen. And so we have to be able, we who are Christians, who are in the kingdom of God, we should know that we are not just in any ordinary kingdom. We are in a kingdom that has power. We're in a kingdom that has victory over any situation. We are in a kingdom where there's nothing that is impossible to us who believe. We are believers. We came into the kingdom by believing. We came in the kingdom by believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by believing that, we have that ability to believe God. And that's why he tells us, you know, we can go in faith. We can get a good understanding of faith. Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He said, we who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Allow the Spirit of God, as we read scripture, go to him and say, you know, Holy Spirit, I don't know what that scripture is saying to me. I don't know what it means to me. And since I don't know what it means, you told me if I ask you, if I ask, I shall receive. That's your word. That's what your word said. You told me if I seek, I can find. If I knock, the door is going to be open to me. So I'm asking you, and he'll reveal those scriptures to me. He'll show me exactly what he said. He put light on that scripture. Now that I can see, and rather than be walking in darkness, I can walk in light. Let's make Hebrews 11:6. I know we all probably know it. We'll make Hebrews 11:6 our meditation scripture for this particular class since it came up. And without faith, and so we need to, again, we need to, part of operating in the supernatural, there's three realms that our apostles have been ministering on. I need to give you those three realms right quick. We have the realm of faith. We'll discuss that some more. We have the realm of the anointing. And then we have the realm of glory. Those are the three realms of the supernatural. And we need to know about each one of those realms. We need to know about faith. We have to need a great understanding about faith. We need to know about the anointing. We have to know that Jesus operated under anointing. Luke 4:18 say how God, he said he was anointed to do these works. So he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then we have to know that God's glory comes in. And he said, God said, I will do this. He says, zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord. Father God, we thank you that we are no longer just hearers, but we have now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Yes, sir.